This is Ryan Dedman, Outreach Director with the 911 Training Institute, providing unique mental health expertise and call mastery for dispatchers as the very first responders. You can find the 911 Training Institute on Facebook and Twitter, and visit our website, www.911training.net.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good morning. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 165. Actually, no, 166. See? And what was it that I was trying not to say?
Within the episode.
No,
within the episode, yeah.
I was going to say, welcome to Within the Episode. Welcome to Within the Episode. And I still messed it up. I think what's throwing me off is that I can actually see you right now.
Yeah, and, we usually don't do that.
No, and everyone who's listening, we're doing something different, and we're recording this. We're doing a screencast. So this will be up on my YouTube channel as well as Facebook. But this is also going to be an audio version, of course, because this is going to be episode 166. Episode 166.
Yep.
And this episode is sponsored by, and I'm very happy to say this new sponsor for the month of January is the 911 Training Institute. And we are doing a Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge. And it's well underway. Jim Marshall, who is the one of the top guys, or I would say the top guy there at the 911 Training Institute, he and I are challenging each other in this, as well as Ryan Dedman. But Jim has been calling me out like crazy all over social media, and I had to respond back with a few of my own. It's all in good fun. It's good stuff. But it's not a fit challenge where we're doing a point system or we're doing weekly weigh-ins or anything like that. It's really a challenge between us and trying to inspire everyone else who is living through our story while we're doing this to really just, get fit, not just physically fit, but mentally fit. Because you would be surprised how much, you know, your attitude, whether it be good or bad, really affects how your mental well-being is. So we've got the fit challenge going on.
You got to drink your, eat your vitamins. You got to drink your water.
That's
right. Hulkamaniacs to build some pythons with your yoga, your bicycle riding. Oh, yeah.
That's right. That is kind of how it sounded. Huh? I needed my gold cross and stuff, and to rip my Within the Trenches T-shirt and everything.
You need to do a, because it's like, seems like some of Jim's, he's got this T-shirt with the Survive and Thrive.
Yes.
So at any minute, I'm expecting him to just rip it off. So you need to do that all of a sudden.
Well, he can be Hulk and I'll be Macho Man, because I have glasses, so I'll have the big glasses, yeah, and the hat, and I'll just
the cowboy hat.
Ooh, yeah.
And then you can
about to freak out
working out, snap into a Slim Jim, and you open it up and eat that. So
that would be perfect for this whole fit challenge and stuff, eating, you know, beef jerky. Well, no, it'd be good. If it was good beef jerky, of course.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
Slim Jims. Man, just lost a potential sponsor. Not just flying.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, you didn't.
This episode is also supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. So I wanted to mention something really quick. Episode 165 was an Imagine Listening episode. And if you have not heard that episode, please make sure to go out and check that out. It's on all, you know, popular apps for podcasting, and it has an announcement, and it's where I announced the first book one for Imagine Listening, and the tagline is your worst day is our every day, and it's all based on the stories that were submitted to the I Am 911 movement. So I've been talking all this time about trying to get all of your stories out there to an even larger audience than what the movement brought it to begin with. And I'm hoping that by doing this, it'll be able to do that as well. And then, you know, some portions of the money made from those books are going to go to be donated to organizations that help out dispatchers with, you know, wellness, their mental well-being and such, because there are a lot of dispatchers out there who are suffering from PTSD. And this is a way to give back, and not just that, for training, to send dispatchers to, you know, for scholarships, to send them off to national conferences or training summits or anything like that. I'm hoping it's going to be big. So, again, check it out. Episode 165. Huge. What's that?
It's going to be huge.
Oh man. Yeah, I was kind of waiting for you to say that. also coming up, we've got, or I've got some appearances, at different, conferences that are going to be coming up. It's going to be, you know, Indiana, Nina, of course, I'll be there. And I'm also going to be out in Iowa and Missouri and in Vegas for the IAED and, you know, other conferences that are coming up. I'm actually going to be in Orlando in a couple of weeks. Is it a couple of weeks?
Dude, it's like next weekend.
It's just, okay, so next weekend. It is next weekend. So next week's Sunday. Today is January 4th, 2018. I almost said 17, 18. And on the 14th, I'll be flying out to Orlando, and I'll be there all week. We're going to be there for the Standards and Best Practices Conference that Nina has coming up. And I'm actually going to be sitting on one of the panels and talking about social media and, you know, disaster situations in the PSAP and how that can play into it. So that's going to be a good class. If you're headed to that one, make sure to stop by and listen to what we have to talk about. It's going to be a good one.
Are you going to bring your podcast equipment?
You know, I am. I'm going to bring my digital recorder and a few microphones so that we can do some recording, because there's always a lot of people there that, you know, I want to talk to, but don't always get a chance to. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be able to do that.
Well, SBP, of course, I'll be there as well. Mm-hmm. I fly in on Saturday, and we've got meetings Saturday afternoon or Sunday, and I'll be there all week. But SBP is one of those conferences that it's not like your normal conference for, you know, your national conference. This is a roll your sleeves up, get down dirty and developing policies and procedures and ways to make dispatching better. It's not where you go to different sessions every hour and you have different speakers. You're kind of in the rooms or in the conference center for all day, and you're actually, you get a part in making the whole 901 world a better place, and an additional, you know, additional training and additional policies. It's really good. If you've never been, it's time to go. It's back in Orlando, and I'm kind of happy to go to some warm weather. I'm usually not a warm weather person, but we're here in Indiana, and
It's been hella cold, man.
Yeah, it's been negative in the negative temperature in the last week or so. So I'm ready for it to be a little bit warmer and go down there and have some sunny weather.
Yeah, I hear that, man, for sure. One quick shout out before we get this fully started. I want to give a quick shout out to Darren of the Corner Talk podcast for having me on. I recently posted his episode. I'm going to be sharing that as well. Make sure to check him out. Again, Corner Talk podcast. And we talked a lot about dispatch, about the IM911 movement. And at the end, he plays a call that I don't want to give too much of it away, but he plays a call that something from that occurred last year in Indiana. And if you guys are out of Indiana, just think about one of the worst calls that happened recently, but like a year ago. In Indiana, Montgomery County. So that's the call that's played on there. But it's a good episode. Make sure to check it out. I had a really good time. They also have a book on pre-order right now. It's called Code. It's C period, O period, D period, E period, and it's all about not just dispatch, but it's dispatch, the coroner, as well as police, fire, and EMS. And there are these different situations. And then at the end of it, they go through this code of conduct, really, where they talk about how you can deal with the stress, as well as communicating with your family. It's really good. I have more information on it, but they've got it on pre-order now. You can find them information about that on the Corner Talk podcast. So just you Google it. It'll come right up. And again, Darren, thank you very much for having me on. It was a good time. I look forward to be on again and having you and your co-author on to talk about your book, because it was an excellent book. And I actually got to write a review on it. So that's good stuff. And as you can see already, like usually when I've done this, I've had my intro and then I introduce my guest. But since you can see him and he's been talking this whole time, you know who my guest is. And it's Rob Big Mac McMullen, director of Vigo County out of Indiana, as well as the president of NINA. How's it going, man?
It's wonderful. As we've already been discussing things, it's going great. It's a busy time here. I had the last couple weeks off. I usually always take the last 2 weeks of the year off to spend with the kids since they're all from school, and trying to get back into the swing of things.
No, for sure.
It's been rough. It's like, oh my God, what? Because you come back and it's like, oh, I got all kind of stuff to do. And yeah, busy, busy. So
I hear that, man. Not just that at the dispatch center, but you're traveling a lot.
Yeah, with your role in NINA. I will be. This year I've got being at SBP in a week, like we just said, and then be home for a couple of weeks, and then we'll go to 901 goes to Washington in D.C. It's always a good time trying to get out to our policymakers in the government to help things with 901. And we'll also be celebrating the 50th anniversary of 9-1-1.
I was just going to say, it's going to be a good one because of that as well. I mean, it's good either way, but that makes it just more, you know, a lot better.
It kind of would, you know, yeah. So that's going to be, it's going to be a good thing. Possibly going to Alabama right after the goes to Washington to, they're going to do something down there with the 50th anniversary. Then it's conference season kicks in. So I'll be probably more than likely in Missouri. I'll probably be out in Vegas for the for Navigator, Indiana, Texas.
You know what's going to be crazy about that Navigator one is that the week before Navigator is Indiana NINA.
Yeah.
So it's Indiana NINA all week, and then we've got like 2 days off, and then fly right out to Vegas.
And then we'll have the there's a couple other conferences that we're trying to get to figure out how we can I'll be able to get to if not just for a day. You've got Louisiana coming up, and New Jersey's coming up, and FDIC, I'm more than likely to be up there. NINA usually has a booth at FDIC. It's a good time. So any of you dispatchers that tend to go to FDIC, or anybody that listens to it, that's at FDIC in Indianapolis, which is the largest conference in the North America. It's awesome. Last year they had over 38,000 attendees go to see all the new fire equipment, and it's a good time. I highly recommend it. Just going, and then Michigan in May, and then we'll be heading out to National in Nashville, which is going to be a good time.
Dude, it gets crazy around this time, starting with the SBP conference, because then it's nonstop. I have to say again, I love you got your cup with your NINA sticker there.
Yep.
Did I say sticker? Sticker there?
Sticker there.
Sticker there.
Sounds like you're from Boston now.
But your headset especially. Now, when we first got on here, I have to say this. I saw your headset. I was going to ask you if you'd been gaming like right before.
Yeah. I don't work a game all the time. So yeah, right. That's pretty.
You're just in your office. And I have to point out too, in back of you is a sweet, slick red t-shirt with your Vigo County logo on it. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. Very, very nice.
Nice friend of ours designed that for me that we requested. So
that's right. It wasn't me. It was someone else.
Not you, another a coworker of Mr. Ricardo.
That's right. So I want to jump right in because we were giving these updates and everything of what you've been, what you're working on with Nina and stuff. But how about back at your dispatch center? Now, I know that there are a lot of changes that are coming in and you're implementing a lot of stuff. Don't choke.
No, sorry.
Well, I can say that because now I can actually see you. Yeah. Or if it was just audio, I'd be like, he's just coughing.
Yeah.
But so you've got some stuff that you're implementing. And when you were talking to me about it, I thought we've got to talk about this because that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. Here in the next couple months, we're kind of going through the initial phases right now. We're going to be here in my center. We're going to be implementing locution, station alerting for the fire departments and EMS. Basically what's happened, as soon as dispatch hits apply or dispatch on the CAD, it'll send out a voice message over the radio to the fire departments, announcing the call. It's Indianapolis uses it. There's several, it's very popular throughout the United States. There's several counties in Indiana that are going to be going live with it here in the next couple months as well. They call her Dispatch Debbie. That's the voice that goes over. It's a female, and she's been at conferences, and she's kind of the big thing is get to meet Dispatch Debbie, and she pronounces the streets and does all that stuff. So we're kind of, it's going to greatly increase our response time here in my center. It's going to be fun. We're also implementing the EFD and EPD and the software that goes with that to integrate with our CAD, adding new radio consulates. And,
what is EFD and EPD for those who don't know?
The Emergency Fire Dispatch and Emergency Police Dispatch protocols from the International Association of Emergency Dispatchers to go along with our EMD. All my folks are EMD. So we're just went ahead and bought the whole software suite. We've got our first set of training next week to get all my new folks through that, all three disciplines. And then I'll go back through over the course of the year and bring all my veteran dispatchers up online with those two.
So when people call in, then just really quick on the EFD or EPD, when callers call on 911 and it's a police situation, it's let's say like an active shooter or something.
Mm-hmm.
What does the EPD do for that then? Because you said these are protocols. So are there a different line of questioning that are specific to police response or how does that work?
Pretty much it's what it is. It's additional questions that you'll ask for the to the callers and just additional information. I tell you what, I'm still new to it. I haven't had a chance to really look at everything, but it's additional questions that will tie into it and provide that additional information for the dispatchers to ask, and then they can relay that to the officers. As you know, when you get into a call and you kind of start asking questions, there's always questions that you forget, and this will be the scripting that you can ask them, and it just goes along with your EMD and fire department. So we're excited to, well, I'm excited to launch it. I've been wanting to do it for several years. We just now took the step to go for it. So
cool. Yeah. When I was in dispatch, we had EMD. We didn't have the EFD or EPD, but we had the EMD, but it wasn't, we didn't have the software. We weren't cool enough.
Yeah.
We didn't have the money to be able to get the software for it, but you know, we had the cards. So there'd be this long stack of cards, and depending on the questions that we were asking, the answers we were getting, you know, then we were flipping to those cards. So this is pretty much the same thing, but just on a computer program, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. We just went ahead and did the whole, got a quote for all of it and the training and the software. So it's just all put it all in to do it at once and upgrading. We've been EMD certified or had the software for a long time. It works really nice. So we decided to go with all of it. So yeah.
Is there anything in there that you can think of, or maybe even a protocol that you guys have or something that you guys are working on that deals at all with swatting? Because there was a recent call about, you know, a swatting call, which ended pretty bad.
Yeah, it ended up with a guy getting shot. The person that was swatted got shot because the officers that were involved said that he was reaching for his waistband or whatever, and they thought he had a weapon. So, you know what? To tell you the truth, I haven't seen any of the card sets yet or anything like that. So, We have not implemented anything like that, but we probably should. That's just something else to add to my list along with unknown caller. Everything else. Sorry. Can't be left alone.
I know. So, and yeah, so that'll remain in there. I'm not going to edit that out.
That's fine.
It makes it more funny. Well, it sounds like you guys got a lot that's going on and is going to be coming in. How about the training for your dispatchers? Then you've got these two new protocols that are coming in for EPD and EFD. How much training then does that end up taking out from your crew? Because I've been in your dispatch center before, and there's several dispatchers on at a time. So, I mean, how do you even schedule that? Do you just do it in different groups, or?
Well, that's what we're going to have to do. We've had a large turnover over the past year, couple years. I have nine new dispatchers that I'm sending through this three sets of classes. They'll have to do EMD, EPD, and EFD. So I'll have those nine, and just everybody else is picking up the slack to help those folks out. So
gotcha.
And then, like I said, we'll just go through. It'll be each the EFD and EPD are 2-day courses. So we'll just go through and get those guys caught up whenever we can.
Nice. You know,
I've got, I think, five people already that are, four people already that are, or five people, yeah, that are already EFD certified. So then I'll bring my total up to about 15 total, maybe 16 total when everything's said and done for now. And then I'll have another six or seven to get caught up. So
cool.
Yeah.
What are some of the benefits then by adding these two protocols, not only for dispatch, but for the callers that are, you know, calling you guys for their emergencies?
I feel that it gives our citizens a higher level of, just a better trained dispatch center. Not saying that if you don't have those, you're not as well trained, but anything that we can do to help my folks with helping the citizens and help the citizens of the county to expect a better or to get a better level of service is always great. The state of Indiana is kind of working toward minimum training standards. And this is part of the minimum training standards that we're going through. I'm actually kind of being the guinea pig for the state to offer this stuff. And there's other agencies that are already doing the EFD and EPD, but it's not widely done in Indiana. So we're kind of helping bring that on more. I just think it's going to help our citizens totally. I mean, it's just something in our arsenal of equipment, like, you know, law enforcement, they have their, you know, patrol rifles or tasers or everything else. I want to make sure the dispatch has everything they can to help our citizens as well.
Since you're helping the state with, trying to build some sort of minimum standards for dispatching, do you know how that even got started or how other people will get that started? I know I've received messages on the podcast page and just in comments and stuff about training standards. And, you know, some people want to try to get that started in their state, but they don't know how. Do you know how to go about doing that or how to even start the conversation?
You know what? Starting the conversation is... there's lots of things to look into and lots of things you need to do. I would first of all, I would say that you need to have everybody on board with it. Your state 901 director, your NASNA representative, or even your NINAs and your APCOs, get those guys involved, set them down and let them understand that, you know, in Indiana, you had to have a barber or a beauty shop attendant or a person that cuts your hair had to have more training than what a dispatcher did. And it's just not acceptable. You know,
right.
We're saving lives on a daily basis, and you had to have just this minimum training. So that's one way to get it going. There are several people in the state of Indiana that were involved in this. If you have other questions, comments, or that you want to try to do that, I would highly suggest you going to NINA and see what they can do to help you guys out, because there's lots of help that's out there. We want this to be a nationwide thing, but it needs to start within your state first and get that going.
True. And if anybody who wants to see what the state of Indiana is doing, I think they have some information on their website. Not just for that, but contacts that people can get a hold of for that. And that is IN, and is Nora, IN911.net. And you can go on their website and check out what they have as well. So a lot of different things coming up. One of the other things for like text to 911 is real-time texting. And I mean, you guys and Nina, you've been talking about that stuff as well. So I'm assuming there's a standard or at least a group that's been put together that they're starting to work on stuff, right?
They are, yes. And I tell you, I unfortunately can't talk much about that standard because I can't be involved in everything.
But you should be involved in everything.
I know, but
I'm just playing.
It's just this work thing. It kind of throws a damper in things. Yes, there are groups working on that.
Damn 9 to 5, right?
I know. But they are working on that along with the I3 document standard that's working through. So Nina has all that stuff available. And if you want more information on that, you can go to the nina.org and see what you need to.
Excellent. I'll make sure to put that on the Nina.org as well as Indiana on the blog post that I end up putting out so that people can check it out. So one of the things that happened last night, I have to talk about this because when the call came out with Halle Berry, Whitney and I, my co-host at the time, we talked about the movie a little bit. Actually, the both of us hadn't seen it at the time, but we were talking about it because, it was coming out. So, what aired last night on Fox was a new show called 911. Now, what I thought it was going to be in the beginning, I was pretty sure it was going to revolve around all public safety, all first responders, but I thought it was going to be more dispatch driven. Which it started out like that to begin with, but I ended up doing a post. I was going to put it up here on the screen so that people could see it, but then there's names of all the other people who commented, and I don't want to have to go through and blur all that out. So I'm looking down now. You can see me on camera. I'm looking down every so often because I'm looking at my post that I did. So I did a post on the show, and I'm just going to read it here. It's just a few paragraphs, but it ended up getting 83 shares. It's up to 418 reactions. And I don't know how many comments. There's so many comments that I can't count them right now. But it has reached 19,979 people.
Wow.
And I don't know how it'll show there. But there it is. It's kind of backwards. But it actually showed there. So I'm just going to read this really quick. And the reason I want to read this is because I had a couple issues with the show. I did enjoy it. It was entertaining. It entertained me.
I was not a fan of Angela Bassett's character. I was not.
Really? I enjoyed her. I love Angela Bassett. She's the coolest.
I was not a fan. I was like, she is just a downright. I think she's going to add a lot to the show, mm-hmm. but I was just not a fan of the way it was. But that's just me.
Well, so. That's what he said. I liked you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I do enjoy your work, and I think it was fine. So
yeah, I think it's a good cast, and it could be a good show. There was just a couple things that bothered me, so I'm going to read this really quick. So. What I had posted last night was, so who watched the 911 show on Fox? My take, ellipsis, it started out good by highlighting dispatch. Dispatch is the actual first responder said by the dispatch character, and her story is first. It makes sense. I had a few issues, though, just a little. 911, what's your emergency? Bothered me. Why? Well, if you call me and I ask this, and you tell me someone is inside your house and the call drops, disconnects. I do not have your address. So where do I send help? Landline? I have your address. Awesome. Cell phone? Not so good. Did it come wireless phase one? If so, good luck. Wireless phase two, we might have a shot. If I start out with 911, what's the location of your emergency, or 911, where is your emergency? Then I can at least get your location first, and if the call drops, I can send help. The mapping program that was used down there was badass. Location?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Right? I wished when I was in dispatch it looked that good. And then the ability to get the location like they did, badass. Reality? It doesn't work that way. Ping a cell phone? Hell yes, but it doesn't happen in dispatch. Dispatch has to request it by calling one of the carriers. Why am I pissing about it? I know this is just a show, but the public might see that and expect it to happen that way. That's all. So that's all I was saying. And the last part of it was, in the end, I know this is just a show and I dig the cast. I'll give it another shot. But even my son who watched with me said, even I know it doesn't work like that. So it was still entertaining. I was entertained, like I said, in what I had wrote. I wasn't bashing the show or anything. So I wanted to make that clear that I'm not bashing it. There was just those couple things that I had issues with because of the misperception that could come with the whole thing. So the post blew up with comments like crazy. And it was enough to where I had to post something in there saying, before I crash out, I want to make something clear. My take on the show was my opinion based on the job that I did for 13 and a half years. I'm being picky, which is really what it is. I'm being picky because I've done it. I've worked it. So I'm nitpicking. I'm being picky about the little issues that I know aren't real, but this show isn't reality. It's entertainment. So I said, I'm being picky. That's all. My issue was on the misconception the public might have. What's the bigger picture here? And this is the most important part. The bigger picture here is the fact that the show's intro was all dispatch, which I personally love that part. The line, I am the first responder. Awesome. I said, damn right. And I felt proud to get the recognition, and the thought that millions just saw the same thing I did felt good. Think about that. All of those people saw that. So those in the public who I've seen tons of tweets on, because I'm following the 901 show on Twitter, they've been retweeting all of these comments from people that watch the show and how much they loved it and how much they were entertained and how intense it was and all this other good stuff. So look at it that way. The fact that all of these people saw that in the beginning, that dispatch is the first responder, they recognize us. So that's the best part about it. And then I said, at that moment, my son looked at me and smiled, which he did. Logan looked right at me and smiled when they said that. And that made me feel good. The dispatcher also said a few things I have said in the past. Look outside. What do you see? Do you see any signs or an address, any numbers? Look for a piece of mail or something with your address on it. I've said that stuff before. And that alone in that episode, and hopefully for more episodes with stuff like that, that's educational. And the public will remember that. So that's a good thing for those who are in the trenches taking calls. They've got that piece of education. So that's a really good thing. Excuse me. So at the end of it, I put, so like I said before, I'm just being picky, and this is Hollywood, and Hollywood is entertainment, not reality. Cheers. So I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I was simply being picky about those two pieces, because that could be something. And actually, in one of the comments that I saw on another page, a person had wrote that she's going to watch again. She's going to watch the show, I guess throughout the whole season, because she wants to prepare herself for whatever the public is seeing, that they might call into dispatch and think that, you know, that's the way it works. By her watching the TV show, she will be educating herself to be able to re-educate the callers. And that's the way we got to look at this. This is now our chance to educate the public and say, you know, that's not exactly how it happens, but do it the right way. Don't be a jerk about it. You know?
That's a good idea. You know, when CSI come out, that everybody thought, oh, you know, you're immediately going to do all this DNA testing immediately and fingerprints on somebody stealing your lunch and just all that type of stuff. yeah, so the citizens are going to think, oh, well, you can do, I saw this on, you know, I saw you do this on 911. I know you can do this show. So that's a good point. I plan on watching it again this evening with my wife. I know that she crashed out last night, so she didn't get to watch it. So we'll probably watch it when she gets home this evening. I liked it. You know, I liked the part of, like you said, with the whole dispatch thing at the beginning where a dispatcher is dealing with her mother who has Alzheimer's, you know, so she's dealing with personal issues and then she has to go to work and everybody has that, even though you tell people, you know, don't bring your family life into work. It always happens. And she was doing that. And then later in the show where the other caregiver for her mother was late and she had to get to work. You know, that happens on a daily basis.
Right. I like that as well, because it also shows something that is a typical dispatcher where we care about and take care of everyone except for ourselves.
Exactly.
So I thought that was a good portrayal as well there by showing that, you know, they didn't say it, but for us working in it, we knew, yeah, she's a typical dispatcher taking care of everybody else except for herself.
The one thing that I did not, when the lady called in that she didn't get, well, she ordered 9 nuggets and she only got 6 or whatever. I need my nugs. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I get that. That happens a lot. We get that type of call all the time. But, you know, with her, get the hell off my air or get off my phone or
yeah,
whatever.
Get the like, hell off like, my line, I think is what yeah, she said. Like,
oh, not probably the best, but you know,
it does happen. There are dispatchers that, you know, have the moment where you snap, and I'm assuming that's just what they were showing there. But in reality, if that were me and my supervisor were there, I would have been called into the office right away and probably written up.
Yeah, exactly. That you know what? That goes back to the call we've discussed several times about the little girl that wouldn't go to school. And the dispatcher's like, what do you want us to do? Come over there and
Yeah. It's the two girls that are fighting and the mom calls.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fighting and the mom calls and she can't handle them. And he says, well, what do you want us to go over there and do? Shoot her? And she's like, what? And he goes, that was a joke. That wasn't very funny. And I think, probably not, guy.
But that's the same type of thing. I like all those type of shows. I watch Chicago Fire. I do the Chicago PD. I just like the shows. I like the actors that are in them. I can justify that it's not reality and it's just a TV show.
Yeah.
There'll be some things in it that we're not happy with. But you know what? That's everything. That's, you know, I know a lot of firefighters and policemen. It's like, oh, I hate those shows. Those are terrible. And I work the road on the police side too. It's like, I know that stuff's not able to do, but you know, unless you work for that show, unless you work in the LAPD dispatch and they really went through those, we don't know what their policies are. We don't know what their standards are unless you work there and we could get those to have access to those.
Right.
And I would hope that the producers and the directors and everything, you know, ask or talk to those folks to get this as right as they could.
Yeah. And it's just like the, you know, talking about protocols and how other dispatch centers do certain things. It's like the 911, what is your emergency versus 911, where is your emergency? Reading all those comments, there were several dispatch centers or dispatchers rather that were saying that, you know, it is their policy to say what rather than where. So each agency is different. We said where, because of what I put on there, my explanation. And then in some of the calls that they had in the show, you know, they start out with what is your emergency? And then there's like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds or whatever of dialogue. And then the address comes out like, at the very end, maybe I should have said spoiler alert before I said any of this.
If you've not watched this, if you haven't watched it today, don't listen to this episode. Maybe when you post this, you need to put spoiler alert. This has information about the show.
Yeah, I think I will. And maybe on the video too, like right up here or something, I'll put up like a big spoiler alert.
Sorry, didn't think about that one.
Whoops. Yeah, which is stupid because I was just looking at a post that I posted, the one that I read, and I put in all caps, spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly. I just looked at it too. It's like,
oh, geez. I put that on the post and I didn't say it for the freaking video. So anyway, or the audio part, both. So people were saying that, the last call, that it's a girl who's in the house and there are people breaking in. And the dispatcher doesn't get the address right away. She's talking to the kid first. And I had seen some tweets where people were saying, yeah, you know, you're waiting too long to get the address. But, you know, it's for the entertainment value. I can see where the entertainment part of it, they have to get to the main part quick. So what is your emergency? They have to say it right away to hook the person who's watching, to keep them watching, to see what's going to happen next. But what I was thinking was, what would make it even more dramatic and intense is that kid who's calling on 911 and they ask for the location and they can't pinpoint where she's at. Because reality, a lot of times you can't the reality is you can't just pinpoint someone when they call on a cell phone, especially if it's a bad area and it hits what's called a wireless phase one. It's going off of the location of the tower. And I don't remember if it's like 3.12 miles or something in a radius from that cell phone tower of where that person might be. That makes more of a dramatic story and makes it more intense. But we'll see if they end up watching this or listening to this. If somebody does and they take that, there's got to be an episode in there where they can't find somebody because the location's not working. I would think that would be, you know, something that they would show.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the rest of it. You know, we'll give it a shot. I anything that can bring notoriety to the 901 profession,
right?
You know, it's not going to hurt anything, you know. Yeah, it'll have people could say, oh, you can do all this stuff, and we know we can't, but at least it's getting people to think about the 901 side of things. So,
right, exactly. I am all about that. Where, you know, people are going to be thinking more about it and see, oh, you know, the dispatch looks pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of different things that can come from it.
Might bring more people out to apply and they think, hey, this is pretty cool, you know, for all those agencies that can't get applicants. And I think it's a good thing to do. I'll give it another shot. Like I said, I'm going to watch it again today and see what I missed. And I'll be tuned in next weekend or next week. And when it comes on next Wednesday night, and we'll probably watch it when we're in Orlando at SBP. We'll watch it when we're up there.
That's right. We should.
So
good call, man.
We'll have a 901 show screening.
There you go. Yeah. That'll be good. We'll have to do that. Well, going into the wrap up of this episode, where do you see, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh man. I guess, you know, where do you see this going with the public watching this show and some of the things that they might pick up from just, and I'm solely basing off of this first episode, what are some of the things that you think that they would pick up from what they saw? Let's say just dispatch wise, because I mean, there's so many shows out there already all about first responders and those who are on the road, but now finally there's not only the recognition of dispatch and saying that they are the first responder to an emergency call, but they're getting to see more of the dispatch side of it. But where do you think that's going to go?
You know what? I don't know. I think it's too early to tell, you know, with just one episode and us being in the 911 field, we know what we're looking for. We know what we're looking at to see, okay, this is probably what they're going to pick up on. The normal citizen doesn't probably know that right yet. So maybe they'll see honestly, I can't answer that. I really don't know what we might see.
And he's been stumped. Yes,
I am.
Finally. Finally.
I
should win a prize.
There's so much that can come from this show that we can do. And it's just going to have to go a little bit more into it to see how it goes. I think really what we need to do is talk to someone that is not in the 911 field, you know, that has, you know, like, hey, just kind of like one of those, you're walking through the mall and they come up with the little clipboard. Hey, can you answer this question for me? You know, do you have any idea? Did you watch it? Yeah. Okay. What can you tell me about dispatch from it? I think that's where it needs to be, because all of the dispatchers that are involved with it are critical on it. And
very true.
For it. So we need an unbiased opinion on how that is, you know, and even our family members aren't that person, because we talk about this all the time.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Or you know, another first responder. It's not, it's going to have to be the grandma that has no ties to it, or the citizen that just has nothing to do. And you just wanted to talk to them about it.
Excellent. No, that's definitely a good idea. And for those who are in the industry, in the profession, and watching, take it from the side, from the person that I was telling you about who commented saying that they're going to look at this as an educational opportunity to be able to educate the public on things and watch the show to kind of prepare themselves for the kinds of questions or responses that people might have from watching and, you know, picking things up. I mean, that's a perfect way to look at it, is to take this as a, you know, an opportunity to educate. So I'm going to watch again. I do want to give a shout out to all of those who created the show for recognizing dispatch. That was pretty awesome. That whole first intro, very cool, where it sticks in my head, her saying, I am the first responder. So badass. Well done. Thank you very much. And thank you. Go ahead. No. I was going to thank you, sir, for being on, but go ahead.
Well, you know, the last cut scene where the fireman that had been fired, and then he gets back on the fire truck and
yes,
whatever. Him telling the dispatcher that, you know, hey, thank you very much, you're the one that started this and you did all this stuff. That was awesome. We know that doesn't happen very much, but I really enjoyed seeing that, you know, that he recognized that stuff. So we know it's a show, but that was cool to put on there as well.
Right, where he said, you are the real hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. So thank you very much, dude, for being on. Appreciate it. I'm going to see you in Orlando.
Yep.
And for those who are watching, if you have any comments or questions, you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and it's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @901podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode is sponsored by the 901 Training Institute, as well as supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. This episode can be seen on YouTube as well as Facebook, and can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio.
Basically every place. That's awesome, though.
And Spotify as well. And the Jabberlog.com. I can't forget the website. Jeez.
Can't forget the website. Exactly.
All of them except for the website. And the Jabberlog.com. Have a good one, everybody.
Talk to you later, bud.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.